So, you know, I haven't been up here for 3 weeks, and feeling a little like maybe I should have a name tag or something. I'm not sure. You know, in all of my life, from as far back as I can remember, I have never, ever missed church 2 Sundays in a row, ever. I mean, I'm an avid churchgoer. Now, as a child, I went as a Catholic, and I went out of fear because I didn't want to go to hell. You know, that's a pretty good motivator for a while, but I got saved when I was 19, and I've been in church ever since. I don't miss church. I find it fulfilling and rewarding, but I missed those 2 Sundays, and I was thinking, am I still a Christian? You know, I read the Bible, and I prayed, so, and then I watched it online, so I'm with you, all right? So, but I'm excited about being here this morning because we're going to finish up our sermon series, Signs of the Times. We started several weeks back. Today will be our last sermon. We've been talking about just a few of the end time prophecies. There are so many, we could never cover them all, and, you know, it would take months and months. We just picked a few out, and we talked about some rules, foundational rules. If you're ever going to get into end time prophecy, like the number one rule is you don't say the date and the time. Only weirdos do that. Got that? Weirdos do that. And weirdos are the ones that make it look like they tell you when this moon lines up, Jesus is coming back. No one knows the day or the hour, so stay away from that. Also talked about the fact that Bible prophecy is one of the things that makes the Bible unique. It's what's so profound about the scriptures. We looked at a passage in Peter. Peter talked about in the last days there'll be scoffers. People saying, oh yeah, nothing's changed. People have been talking about the second coming forever. And people have been talking about the second coming for 2,000 years. But things are not the same. We shared with you the number one Bible prophecy that I believe started the end time clock ticking was the regathering of the nation of Israel. That has started the end time clock. And then Peter also talked about this event happening where the elements would melt with a fervent heat, and that was written 2,000 years ago. And how did Peter know what he was talking about? And maybe they were thinking it was a supernatural event, and it still may be, but when I read it today, I see him describing some kind of nuclear war, which we're like almost on the verge of all the time. The elements melting with a fervent heat. So we're at a time where that could actually happen. And then Chip talked about things that are in the book of Revelations, the mark of the beast, and the 7-year tribulation, the rapture. So today, I want to talk about just 2 more signs, and it's found in the book of Daniel, and it's in Daniel chapter 12, where Daniel talks about an incredible explosion of knowledge that would happen in the last days and incredible advancements in travel that would happen in the last days. That's what we'll be looking at today, Daniel chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Daniel chapter 12. Just before we read chapter 12, I'll give you a little history, what the book of Daniel's doing and what it's about. It was written about 2,500 years ago. So this is an old book, and Daniel's considered a prophet. And much of the book of Daniel is prophecy about things that would happen in the last days. chapter 11, when you read chapter 11, there's such specific prophecies about something that was about to happen. When Daniel wrote chapter 11, he was serving under the Second World Empire. The first one had been Babylon. Daniel had prophesied about that. He was now serving under the Second World Empire, the Persians, which are today the Syrians. And you get into chapter 11, and Daniel's talking about the fall of the Second World Empire, the rise of another world empire, which happened to be Greece, and then the fall of that empire and the rise of another empire. And so when you read chapter 11, now that when we read it, if you match that with what happened in history with the rise and fall of the Greek Empire, you see that this is history. Daniel prophesied accurately something that would happen, and it actually did happen. There's actually 135 prophecies in Daniel chapter 11 that were fulfilled in history. But the interesting thing about chapter 11 and much of the book of Daniel, which some people get confused on, much of Bible prophecy is twofold. Much of end-time Bible prophecy is twofold. It means that it has two fulfillments. It has an initial fulfillment, which is almost complete, but it's partial. And then there's a second fulfillment, which is complete. And so this is what happens in Daniel chapter 11 and what we'll read today in Daniel chapter 12. It was fulfilled historically, but as you read through it, you begin to realize he's talking about end times here. There are things that he says, and you find them also in the book of Revelations. And also many of Jesus' prophecies about the end times were twofold. When he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened just about 40 years after Jesus died, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the things Jesus said would happen, happened. But then he also said other things would happen, which haven't been completely fulfilled. So then we read much of Jesus' prophecy and say there will be a second time. So this is what's happening in Daniel chapter 11, chapter 12. There was a partial fulfillment, but then you get into chapter 12, and we'll see as we read through this chapter starting in verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank, the other on the riverbank, that riverbank. One said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever, and it shall be for a time, times and a half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and they're sealed until the time of the end. So we're reading in chapter 11, historical things are happening, but chapter 11 starts giving you an indication some of this stuff in 11 is now going to happen in the end times. You get into chapter 12 and Daniel's, this is end time prophecy, Daniel chapter 12. When he's talking about Michael, this is where I shared with you a while back, if you're ever going to understand the book of Revelation, you have to read the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, because about 80 or 90% of the book of Revelation comes from the book of Daniel or the other prophets. And so chapter 12 of Daniel is found, much of that is found in the book of Revelations, chapter 12. And so what we're reading is something about Michael, and in the book of Revelations we find out this is Michael the archangel, and that at the end time he's going to stand up and protect God's people. And then he tells you that this is the end time, and there will actually be a resurrection, verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, there will be a resurrection, a physical resurrection. It will be different than what the way we were planted. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But there will be a resurrection, some to glory and honor, some to shame. Verse 3, There will be a time for rewards. Those who have been wise, they shall shine like the firmament. But now you get into verse 4, and it says, the angel said, Daniel, shut up these words. Seal the book until the time of the end. The time of the end. And then he says, here's what he says. Here's a sign that you'll know you're in the time of the end. What's the sign? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel's going, whoa, what am I seeing here? And then he sees these angels, and you have this little passage in verse 7, and you read this, you think, what is he talking about here? It says, I heard the man in linen who was above the waters. He raised his hands and swore by him who lives forever. It shall be for a time, times, and a half time. So what is that? Well, again, if you have the cross reference, it might even be in your Bible. If it isn't, go to the book of Revelations, chapter 12. I forget what verse it is. It tells you that it says this will be for a time, times, and a half, and what they're referring to is 3.5 years. You'll see it in the book of Revelation, so it doesn't take any genius. You don't have to go outside the scripture to interpret prophecy. A time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and a half is a half. 3.5 years, it tells you this in the book of Revelation. So we read this, and this is talking about stuff that's going to happen in the 7-year tribulation. This is end time prophecy, but the thing I want to look at is the angel says to Daniel, you know, you're not going to understand this. And he gets to like verse 9, and he says, go your way, the book's closed and it's sealed until the time of the end. So I believe we're in the end times, and I believe the clock has started ticking. And throughout history, when you if you ever read sermons by men who were preachers in the 1100s, 1200s, 1400s, 1600s, I've had a series of books called The Pulpit Commentary, and they had collected sermons of preachers all the way back. And if you ever read about their understanding of end time prophecy, you will see clearly they had very limited understanding. Many of them never even taught or spoke about end times or the book of Revelations. It was sealed up. Even one of the great reformers, John Calvin, he was a tremendous theologian, wrote commentaries on every book of the Bible, never touched the book of Revelations. Either they were intimidated by it or just felt they couldn't figure it out. But since 1948, there's an explosion of teaching on end time prophecy. Some of it's crazy, but there are so many books. I've read at least 10 or 15 over the years, and there's some kind of new thing that started happening. And so here we see that Daniel's saying the sign that this is going to happen is this explosion of knowledge. Explosion of knowledge. He said this book is sealed until the end times, but here's a sign. He says knowledge. There'll be this explosion of knowledge. So have we seen an explosion of knowledge? Well, again, just a little history. Think about the history of mankind. From creation up until about the 1400s, the only method of exchanging knowledge was conversation or handwritten books, manuscripts. Around 1400, Gutenberg invents the press. And within 100 years, there's an explosion of knowledge. Books, magazines, newspapers, people could actually afford them. People were learning to read. There was an explosion about 1400. But then it kind of stopped, and then about 400 years later, about 1800, we have the discovery of electricity, the invention of the telephone and the telegraph, and all of a sudden knowledge is being transferred electronically. So we got this 400-year gap, and boom, there's another explosion. But it gets really interesting, because then from like the 1800s to about 1950, a 150-year gap, all of a sudden we have this invention of the computer. Late 40s, early 50s, the computer came about. Then you go from like 19, I'm just rounding these off, but say about 1950 to about the 90s, all of a sudden, about 40 years later, we have the invention of the internet. I remember first going on the internet about 1989. It was just shocking. We had to use the DOS language, black screen. I would go into a library in another part of the country. Whoa, this was awesome, you know. And then just like 10 years later, we go from the internet, 1990, to about 2000, and I got my first cell phone. I remember just thinking, I've never used this thing, man. It was on, you know, people say, what? I don't know, you know, it was too expensive. And then you go from like 1990 to 2000, and all of a sudden, or even, you know, somewhere around there, all of a sudden now we've got this social media that people are addicted to. So now just think about this. Tell me if you see a pattern here. So you have 1,400 years, basically the only way knowledge was spread was handwriting. 400 years later, we have telephones, telegraph. 150 years later, we have the computer. 40 years later, we have the internet. 10 years later, we have the cell phone. 5 years later, we have interactive social media. Anybody see a pattern there? What? It's getting shorter and shorter. There is a serious knowledge explosion going on. It is incredibly profound that at any moment right now, I have all the sum total of like man's knowledge at my disposal within seconds. Within seconds. When I used to prepare sermons 25 years ago, if I wanted to do a topical study on something, and I wanted to study like, you know, how have earthquakes increased over the last 100 years. If I was going to do research like that, I would have to drive to the library and spend a whole day looking up in the file cards to find some cards, find some books, magazine articles, try and find those magazines, read them. It would be a full day, sometimes 2 days, just to get one article on if there were more earthquakes in the last 100 years. Then it got to the facts where I could call the library and say, hey, could you fax me a couple of articles on a topic of, let's say, wars or something? And they would say, sure. And within about 3 days, I would get a fax. They charged me a nickel or a dime a page. I'd get 3 magazine articles, mostly useless. But then I go, I'm telling you, you know, research. Think about, you had to use encyclopedias. Who's got a set of encyclopedias that they use? I mean, this is crazy. Knowledge has exploded. It's unbelievable what's at our disposals. My cell phone now, I take pictures. I have more memory on my cell phone than my first computer that I got in 1987. I can shop with my cell phone. I can get directions with my cell phone. I can buy and sell stocks. I can talk to people. If you don't see this, something's wrong. Yeah. Things have changed. And this explosion of knowledge is astounding, not just in technology, although even just the equipment. If you have tech equipment, 1 or 2 years, go ahead and try and sell that. You just throw it in the garbage. I mean, the lifespan, it changes so fast. And then what about in science and medicine? You know, open heart surgery. Wow, well, we've gone to heart transplants. We've gone to rebuilt knees and, artificial eyes that are now seeing shadows. I mean, whoa. Laparoscopic surgery. I had my knee operate on years ago. I mean, just a little tiny incision and, you know, tiny equipment, cameras. I mean, whoa. We are seeing things that just have never, ever happened before. I believe this is a sign. Truly believe this is a sign. The explosion of knowledge is just breathtaking. I just don't know what's left. I mean, anything you want to know, you just go, wait a second. Oh, there it is. Of course, you got to process through a couple articles, but it's right there. And it even tells you it took, you know, I love the Google thing. It'll say, I found, 1.6 million replies to this in like 0.001 second. Like, oh, not even a second. Knowledge has exploded. We are just seeing outstanding fulfillment of this. So what about men running to and fro? Again, think about the history of the world. From man's creation up until about the 1900s, we're talking 5,900 years approximately, the entire history of the human race, the only way man got around was walking on his 2 feet, riding in a buggy, sitting on the back of a horse. That was it for almost 6,000 years. And then in the last 100 years, we have the invention of an engine, and then the invention of a car, and then the invention of a train, and an airplane, and a jet, and rockets, and the speed that these things are traveling at. I watched a video the other day, one of our military jets traveling 2,000 miles an hour. 2,000 miles an hour. This is interesting. I read this quote. So if you've ever heard about Isaac Newton, I would hope you have. He's like the father of engineering and developed the laws of gravity and motion. The guy was a brilliant genius. Well, Isaac Newton was a profound, solid, committed Christian, outspoken about his Christian faith, didn't hesitate at all. He believed in the creation story literally, He believed in his in God's existence, and he believed in the literal understanding of Scripture. Well, so Isaac Newton was studying the book of Daniel, trying to figure it out. And he said, I believe someday the advancement in travel could be so profound that someday man could actually travel at 20 to 40 miles an hour. That's what he said. I have the quote here. He said, I think man shall be able to someday travel between 40 and 60 miles an hour. Now, he said this publicly. So when he said this, the atheists mocked him horrendously. Voltaire, big philosopher living at the same time as Isaac Newton, caught a hold of this and made a public spectacle. Here's Voltaire. He said, what a fool Christianity makes of people, especially Isaac Newton. Doesn't he know that if man would travel between 20 and 40 miles an hour, he would suffocate and his heart would stop beating? Voltaire. Anybody here ever travel over 40 miles an hour? Some of you do that in 25 mile an hour speed zones. Yeah, you shouldn't be. Your heart didn't stop. You know, believing in Scripture is never going to make you a fool. Isaac Newton didn't understand the speed that man could go, but he saw in those Scriptures this would be a fulfillment of end time prophecy. Well, we're well past 40 miles an hour. We've got rocket ships and jets traveling 2,000 miles an hour. I mean, we are living in a time of just great fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We don't know the day or the hour, but I tell you, things have changed and the clock is ticking. I want to close with one passage of Scripture if you have your Bible. It's found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. The writer said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. I love that, and I even wonder, you know, should we take that literal? Like, I'm 64, I'm thinking, number my days. You know, I think I shared this with you a while back, but I read up, you know, if I'm 64 right now, how many years can I expect to live? And they say, if you're 64 right now and you're reasonably healthy, which I wasn't 2 weeks ago, and I thought I was dying, but now I'm feeling better, I says I should live to be 85 at least. So they go, should you actually number your days? Like that, some people, that's creepy. I mean, it says right there, number your days, so I think there's some wisdom to that. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I've got 21 more years, and I'm going to do the best I can for the last 21 years. I want to apply my life, but I may not have 21 years, see? I may only have today, you know, because every day is a gift. I read this story. What would you do if a bank opened an account in your name and every day deposited $86,400 into your account every single day in the morning, but at night, whatever wasn't used was taken out and burnt up? $86,400 in your name every morning. What would you do? Do something with it, man. You're not going to leave anything left at the end. I'm not going to let them burn up a dollar, man. If it's mine, I want to use it. Well, you're given 86,400 seconds every day. That's your bank account. It's called time. And the writer is saying, teach us to number our days. Count our days precious. So we're talking about the return of the Lord. I believe God made it such that we don't know when his return is. We know it's near. It could happen today. He could call us up off the earth today. The thing is, we have to live every day ready. Every day unto God, getting the most out of every day, honoring God the way we live. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. We'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word, which even if we don't understand it, we know it's true. The writer, Daniel, didn't understand it, but he wrote it. We read it now, God, and we see that we are living in a time which is called the time of the end. knowledge explosion, travel, advancement, things happening that have never happened in the history of the world. God, I pray you would have us live every day ready, using the day, the time valuable, God, making the best use of our time. God, we do pray. You told us to pray that you would come quickly, and we pray, God, time of the end would come and we would see the establishment of the kingdom age, God. Thank you for opening our hearts and our minds to you. We just ask your blessing, God, as we go about using every day. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have our ushers come forward. We'll take our offering. Now, just as we get ready to wrap up the service here, I just want to take a moment and maybe ask you to do a little soul searching here, or allow the Holy Spirit to do a little soul searching. So, talking about the coming of Christ, here's the question. If you were to stand before him today, right now, you alone, would you be ready? Would you be ready? Yeah. You want to be able to say that, Tom. You want to be able to say, absolutely. But I just wonder, maybe there's some of us here today that can't say that. Maybe there's something there. And I just want to take a minute, invite the Holy Spirit, and just give you a chance to make a decision today to say, I'm going to accept Christ as my Savior, meaning that his death can wash away my sins, granting me the right to heaven. Not because of my good works, but because of Jesus' sacrifice for me. You can walk out of here today fully assured. But it's a decision you have to make. No one else can make it for you. And I just wonder if there's a stirring in your heart and you're wondering, and this morning we can get that taken care of. So let's just take a minute. Father, we invite your presence here. And God, you bring us together on Sunday that we might present ourselves before you, that we could worship you, that we could enjoy fellowship one with another. But God, I also believe you bring us here that there's sometimes people that need to make decisions, need to say, today I'm opening my life to you, God. I'm surrendering to you as my Lord. I accept your sacrifice for me, God, that you might begin to reveal yourself to them. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, move among us here. If you're feeling that tug at your heart, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to respond to that. And all you need to do is just, when I ask, just raise your hand right where you're standing. We're going to pray for you, pray a simple prayer. But I truly believe God will honor that prayer. He's tugging at your heart. You want to walk out of here fully assured. There's somebody here today that I'm speaking to. If I'm talking to you, just hold your hand up and say, yeah, Pastor Dave, you're talking to me. I want to make that decision this morning. Just hold your hand up. All the way over here, one hand right here. Come on, you can walk out of here today fully assured. Hold your hand up. All right, good for you, man. Two hands up here. Come on. Anybody else? This is your time now. This is where you say, I want to connect with God. I want to accept his sacrifice for me. I got a hand up over here. I got a hand up right over here. Anybody else? All right, you're right. Let's just pray this prayer together. So just say it out loud. Jesus, please come into my life right now. Forgive me of all my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and I commit my life to you today. Yep, there it is, right there. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just let him come right now. Let him come into your heart. Drive out any sickness, sin, darkness, doubt. In the name of Jesus, we declare your sins forgiven. We declare your sins forgiven. Jesus gave us the authority based on his sacrifice. You stand forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Yeah. All right. All right. So, you know, we're running just a little late here, but we're going to close up with a song. I just want to invite you, if you want to come forward and just honor the Lord this morning, just want to celebrate your life or celebrate what God's done for you, we like to just close it out and open up the front. If you want to come up and worship, you're more than welcome to come up.